Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So cool to have Riley Gaines in Bozeman, Montana last night. Riley Gaines was the keynote speaker at the Montana Family Foundation banquet in Bozeman. She also spoke at the Montana Family Foundation banquet in Billings last month. I missed her at the banquet in Billings because when she was speaking in Billings was the same night that we were in the Flathead for the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner taking place there, which was a great event in Flathead. But yeah, so cool to see Riley Gaines in Bozeman, Montana. Riley Gaines, for those of you who may not remember or who don't know, I know you all know, but just in case there's at least one of you out there, she is this incredible college athlete, female swimmer, and she is the one who lost a national champion trophy to a guy, to a man who identifies as a woman. And it's just such a shameful story, the way she was robbed of that trophy. But what an incredible story she has now become. What an incredible person. Both her and her husband, Louie, were there last night. Not only were they there, but Lily Meskers, that incredible student journalist and student athlete from the University of Montana. She made the trip over to Bozeman to get a chance to see her friend Riley Gaines as well. And it was so powerful, not only hearing Riley Gaines' story firsthand, you know, when she was assaulted and held hostage at San Francisco State University by these men dressed up as women who were assaulting this woman, this actual woman. She told that story and how these security guards just stood there and did nothing as they were held hostage too. She also described the moment when I had always thought about her story. I knew that she was the number one swimmer in her category, female swimmer in the country, and that she would have gotten that trophy had she not been swimming against a man who was claiming to be a woman. But what I forgot about the story is that she actually tied Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas is the guy who pretended to be a woman. They actually tied. It was a complete, which is almost unheard of in swimming, right? They outright tied for that first place victory. And so they go up to the podium, and she said you could see the sadness and almost the disbelief in the judges, the NCAA judges' eyes. She said she could tell that even he didn't want to give the trophy to him, to Leah Thomas, but had to. Because it was a tie, you would think, okay, well, do they give them both the first place trophy? Do they give him the trophy? Do they give her the trophy? They gave him the trophy. They were told that no matter what happened, that they wanted the photo op. They wanted the transgender photo op. The NAACP, the NCAA was demanding that he get the trophy so that they could get the photo op. That's how despicable that story was. But what stood out to me is, don't be those cowards. Don't be that cowardly judge at the NCAA. Don't be those cowardly security guards who stood there and did nothing as she was assaulted by these men in dresses. But then again, I know our listeners, you aren't those cowards. You're the patriots. Happy Freedom Friday. Lots to come after this.
Securing America.
U.S. Southern Command, which is based in Miami, celebrated a change of command Thursday as Navy Admiral Alvin Halsey succeeded Army General Laura Richardson. Southcom provides security for Central and South America and the Caribbean. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke to those who serve in and work for Southern Command.
I want to thank you for defending our country with such patriotism and professionalism.
The secretary also highlighted the unique challenges of Southcom's work in the Western Hemisphere.
Irregular migration, fundraising by transnational terrorist groups, and natural disasters fueled by climate change.
Austin added that Southcom proves the United States is a trusted, reliable ally for its neighbors.
Thanks for keeping this region safe, and thanks for defending our democracy and our values.
Give me that speech. Fox News.
Democracy 2024.
President Biden congratulating President-elect Trump.
And I assured him that I direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Also speaking with Vice President Harris.
She gave her whole heart effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
Telling Americans setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable.
I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Calling democracy the greatest experiment and saying he hopes we can lay to rest any question about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent.
And urging those who disagree to see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've got the phone lines open for you here on this Freedom Friday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. If you get something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Or, of course, if there's some candidates out there that want to call and get a message out to our listeners following Tuesday's elections. I know we've had jam-packed phone lines. We've been getting a ton of messages throughout the week. And then we've had, you know, some of the candidates on as well, like Tim Sheehy joining us here earlier in the week. But yeah, phone lines are open for you. Two things I wanted to share this hour, and then in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got the head of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks joining us, then Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, is going to be with us. But a couple of things I wanted to go back and look on here on this Freedom Friday. Riley Gaines, I mentioned her giving an incredible speech in Bozeman last night at the Montana Family Foundation banquet. Earlier this year, this was back in June when Riley Gaines was in Whitefish, Montana. I got a chance to catch up with Riley Gaines on live here on Montana Talks. And obviously, she was, I think, a very powerful voice in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana and all across the country. I think that this was a major sleeper issue, women's sports, and why so many women did not vote for Kamala Harris and did not vote for John Tester in particular. I asked Riley Gaines back in June, I said, you know, how big is this threat to young women and to girls here in Montana and all across the country right now because of this threat, you know, coming from this radical transgender agenda?
I would describe it as severe, which, you know, we hear all the time. We've heard it from Tester. He says this is a, you know, we're creating a solution to a problem that doesn't really exist. There's such a small percentage of males identifying as women competing in women's sports. And so my question for Senator Tester or anyone who promotes or celebrates or accepts or encourages the erasure of women, my question for them is how many girls, you know, how many girls will it take? How many girls have to lose out on opportunities or have to be exploited in locker rooms non-consensually or injured in their sports before you do care, before you do see this as a problem that's worth solving? Is it one? Is it five? Is it 10? Is it an entire Olympic team of men? What's the standard? Because to me, it's zero. No girl should ever have to face the unfair competition that I did, quite frankly. No girl should ever have to feel entirely violated, to feel betrayed, to feel belittled and mocked in the locker room setting. I mean, really, that you asked me how I felt. The locker room in particular, really, it was traumatic. And not even necessarily traumatic because of what we were forced to see or how we were forcibly exploited, but it was traumatic for me to know just how easy it was for those people who created these policies to totally dismiss our rights to privacy without even a second thought, without even bare minimum forewarning us.
Men identifying as women, watching young ladies get undressed in the locker room. I mean, not only do you have trophies that are taken away from women that have gone through an incredible amount of sacrifice to train to get to that level, just to have that trophy taken away, given to a man, but then to have them watch you undress in the locker room. I mean, what in the world?
I know. It sounds insane. It sounds like you know, 5-6 years ago, we would have said, this is what we're dealing with. You have a sitting U.S. senator who voted in favor of this. People would say, you're lying. We will never get to that point in our society. We know what a woman is. We know what a man is. We've never struggled to understand that in the nearly 250 years we've been established as a country. But here we are, living through the midst of what I would describe as a social contagion, really. Whether it's this issue, I mean, a lot of the cultural, societal issues that we're facing right now, it feels almost satirical. It feels like an SNL skit, which is objectively meant to be funny. And so I think a lot of the times we hear what's going on and we almost chuckle, but we have to realize and understand this is having real, I mean, this is real consequences.
All right, and then she spoke last night. Of course, that was before the election, and then she spoke last night after the elections, and she said, I think the American people rejected absurdity. They rejected the absurdity that we've been living with here these last 3+ years. Richard in Jordan on the phone lines. Great to hear from you, Richard.
Good morning, Aaron. Say, I would just like to take a quick minute to to offer a personal thank you to everybody that helped us get rid of John Tester and put Donald Trump back in the office. We always talk about service and how important that is, you know, in our everyday lives, but service comes in many different forms. And like the young lady on X that calls herself John Tester will not be reelected.
Yeah.
And now proudly calls herself John Tester was not reelected. And
I like the name change on Twitter. That's great, isn't it?
Exactly. She gave selflessly. There are so many people in Montana that knew the effort that needed to be put in, the personal sacrifice to all of us that traveled to go see you at the America for, Prosperity for America and all of that. You know, just doing what we could on our weekends, on our times off. And I thank everybody for getting involved in what was clearly a movement, not only in America, but right here in Montana.
Isn't it just remarkable to think about how many people went all in whatever way they possibly could, whatever that meant from their capacity, with their skill set, with their gifts that they've been given. Everybody went all in to save this country, to save Montana, and turn things around. Hey, Richard, stand by if you can on the phone lines, because I want to ask. Yeah, great. Okay, stand by, because I want to talk to you about that great time we had at the Mint in Big Sandy. And what stood out to me right after the election. Stand by if you can.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. A federal appeals court recently upheld the use of a criminal trespassing charge against nearly all of the 1,500 defendants accused in taking part in the 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. The court rejected an attempt to further restrict the charges available to the prosecutors. In a 2-1 ruling, a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit turned down an appeal by defendant Coy Griffin. He asked the court to toss out his conviction on a misdemeanor charge that bars unauthorized people from entering restricted areas protected by the U.S. Secret Service. Griffin argued that federal prosecutors must prove that he knew that then-Vice President Mike Pence was at the Capitol on the day of the riot. That created the need for Secret Service protection. The court, in upholding Griffin's conviction, found that prosecutors only had to prove the defendant knowingly entered a restricted area. A ruling against the government could have complicated scores of January 6th prosecutions. The Justice Department says about 95% of all Capitol riot defendants faced that trespassing charge. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, we've got the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks kicking off the 9 o'clock hour for us. So we'll cover all the big issues going on at FWP, outdoor issues, and more. Wolves, got to bring up the wolves. Which reminds me, I got to schedule a hunting trip, man, now that the elections are over. Hey, we'll also hear from Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. They played a big role this election cycle. Friday's Montana Talks, taking us statewide, 9 to 10 right here. Are you?
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, one other audio clip that I want to share here this hour of the show. I'll get to a couple more phone calls before I share that. But Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, do you guys remember Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller? He is the United States Marine when the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan occurred and we lost our 13 troops. I believe it was mostly Marines, Navy corpsmen, and an Army PSYOP. NCO, when we lost the fallen 13 in Kabul and this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and, you know, people falling off the sides of airplanes, Stu Scheller, he said, you know what, I'm just going to record this video and I'm going to call for accountability. And he shared this video of him demanding accountability of the entire chain of command for the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Stu Scheller is in Bozeman. He is speaking later today at Montana State University. They've got the Leadership Institute at Montana State University, and MSU's Veterans Services is hosting this lecture. The lecture, titled Courageous Leadership, is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. At the Norm Asbjornsen Hall. The lecture is free and open to the public. So if you go to the MSU website, you can still get into the event if you RSVP for it. And then Stu Scheller will be speaking at the Marine Corps Ball in Bozeman tomorrow night. Our friend Steve Rast helped line that up. And then he had a free day on Sunday. So the Adaptive Performance Center in Billings is going to be doing a book signing event with Stu Scheller Sunday afternoon. So if you're in the Billings area, get a hold of the APC and ask them about, I think the details are on their Facebook page as well, ask them about Stu Scheller event Sunday afternoon. And then, hey, if there's some fellow veterans listening, we even lined it up where Stu Scheller will come have a cigar with us. So hit me up if that's something you might be interested in. That's a little bit smaller of an event, just given space limitations, et cetera. But back to Richard and Jordan. Richard, man, it was so great. I'm so glad you called in this week because it was so cool to meet, you know, your family, your wife, and your son at the Mint in Big Sandy. I mean, you guys traveled all the way from Jordan to join us for our Bidenomics event that we did. You know, holding John Tester and Joe Biden accountable for these failed policies. And it was such a great time. There were so many great people, tons of friends from Big Sandy that were there. Norma Ashby Smith and her husband Dwight, they came up and they were having dinner with a bunch of friends from Big Sandy. Do you remember, Richard, at one point Norma and Dwight yelled over to me at my table and they said, "Hey, Aaron, would you come pray with us?" Were you guys sitting there when that happened?
Yes, we were. We were waiting on our meal, and that kind of, my wife has never been really what you would call religious. And it surprised her, and she looked at me and smiled, because they did that in public. And it made a real impact on my wife, believe it or not. And I just found those people to be so genuine and remarkable. And, you know, to sit and have a conversation with a woman, you know, I explained to my wife while we were sitting there, you know, because to me, she's a celebrity.
You know, that's right.
Yes. Such a huge life, and she was a success in everything she did in journalism, and she was a pioneer. And I explained that to my wife, and my wife was just like, "Oh, wow." And she wanted to, after I told her all this, she wanted to go over and sit down and talk with her, but she didn't want to interrupt.
Right? Oh, no, they would have loved it. They would have loved it. But, you know, it's interesting hearing your take on that, because, yeah, I don't know if it's a Scandinavian thing, but, you know, we grow up and you're very kind of private with your personal life and you know, and you don't like to do too many public things, like kind of like what you just mentioned, right? But it was remarkable because I said, "Would you come pray with us?" And there was, what, eight of us or so at her table. And then I kind of kneeled down next to him, and we all grabbed hands. And And I think Dwight led the prayer, and they prayed for our nation. They prayed for these elections. They prayed for Tim Sheehy. To do that in Big Sandy, Montana, which was technically the home of John Tester, I just thought it was incredible. But I thought about that as I was driving home Wednesday from our election night show, our election, you know, the day after the election from the show, because, man, the way the sun was shining on Main Street Bozeman through the windows as we did our election day show, and we had A.G. Knutson there and so many of these rock star staffers, you know, like Brock Lawrence and Jake Eaton and Will Self and so many of these people. I think Carly Hill came over. I mean, just so many of these people that have been fighting day in and day out for 20-plus years to fight for this country and fight for Montana. And as I was driving back, I thought about, man, you know, we were in Big Sandy, Montana, praying for the future of this country and praying for these elections. And I know I feel blessed. I know not everybody feels blessed, but hey, I'll tell you what, you know, so often we don't think to pray for things, right?
Well, absolutely. And real quick, like, again, I cannot say thank you enough to the Montanans that showed up over the last 2 years. And if, again, the pride that I feel and the fact that so many people who have never really gotten involved and so many people that have always been involved, Frances and Big Fork, you know, she didn't have to do the things she did in this election cycle, but she stepped up in her retirement years and said, I need to do something. I need to do something more. And
what an inspiration she is. I mean, you probably haven't gotten a chance to meet her in person, but just seeing Frances at the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, I got to go to, we had Jim Jordan in Kalispell at the beautiful baseball stadium there. Jim Jordan was doing a rally with Congressman Ryan Zinke, who, you know, 7 points of victory looking at the latest numbers here. And so I got to go to, you know, the kind of meet and greet that they did afterwards, you know, and for some reason I got to be a fly on the wall for that. And, you know, the golf legend Nick Faldo is there in the corner there. And it's Nick Faldo, right, you know, and the British golf legend, because I guess he lives up by Eureka. So he was there, and, you know, Jim Jordan's there, Zinke, and a whole bunch of other really cool, interesting people. Right in the middle of the room on the couch, Frances and Big Fork, right? So cool.
Yeah, indeed. I got to get back to work, sir. But all right. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything you do as well.
Hey, thanks for your great phone calls and everything you do. I appreciate it. Thanks for keeping the, you know, well, I won't give away your day job, but hey, you do important work for the people there in eastern Montana. All right, let's get to AW in Bozeman. I can always spot AW when he pops in. He came down to see us at the Rock and R on Wednesday morning. He's got, like, he always has, like, the coolest hats and, like, the coolest eyeglasses ever. So I'm like, so AW, it was great to see your cool hat and glasses all together.
Yeah, whenever you pop into town, I have to come down and say hi. I didn't stay long, but it was nice to see Knutson there and took a phone call from Gianforte and whatnot. But I'm on a Telegram group. It's called Gallatin Unmasked, and it got started when we were all masked up. Obviously, and there was a note on there today that said that 12,000 votes just showed up in Bozeman yesterday, absentee ballots. And I'm like, here we go again. You know, I know there was some shenanigans out there in Missoula last time, like 5,000 votes showed up that were illegitimate or something. But I thought I'd bring that to your attention. But on a secondary note, I wear a jacket that says MT Media. That stands for Murder the Media. And I went to that parade in Belgrade a few months ago, and people were always saying, what is that? Well, I have a couple friends that just got out of jail. They were J6 guys. And they went down. They had, what do you call it, media credentials. And they were there for J6 Rise just to report, you know, on
just to cover it. Yeah, report on cover what was happening. Yeah, huh.
And they went to jail. They've been in jail for like 2 years, 3 years now, and they just finally got released, even though the Supreme Court shot down. And there was even a mention of it on your news break there, on the Fox News break, where they were saying You know, the Supreme Court ruled on these things, and they're not even letting these people out, even though the Supreme Court ruled that they, those charges couldn't be put on them.
Could you imagine if we put people in prison, like journalists behind bars for covering the BLM riots that were burning down? Like, okay, so I guess, you know, they're saying that if it's okay to put these folks that are covering something as media in prison, it's okay to put them in prison for covering these things. I mean, it's just so outrageous, the violation of civil liberties. You're not actually suggesting that we murder the media, just to clarify here, right?
Yeah, no, it's just a metaphor. It's a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing.
Well, I think there's nothing to destroy. Journalism is dead. The question is are they going to awake from the dead at this point? I apparently a lot of these even so-called journalists here in Montana are saying, oh, Donald Trump's going to kill journalism. You guys killed journalism. You guys destroyed it. The question is are they going to actually try to wake from the dead and become journalists again? I mean, it was so despicable the way they handled this 2024 election here in Montana. And now they're saying, oh, Trump's going to he's going to kill journalism. You guys killed journalism because of your hatred for Trump, because of your hatred for the Republicans, and because of your unabashed bias towards John Tester. And now you're in therapy and needing emotional support days. Yeah, they need emotional support days this week because they lost the elections. That's how partisan they are. It is just embarrassing. But they're like, oh, he's going to kill journalism. Journalism is already dead. Although citizen journalism is alive and well, and we, the people, are winning. AW, great to see you. Yeah, what about those Gallatin County numbers? I need to start there. Plus, how did that impact that close House race? I'll get to that, too.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I've got probably 50-plus messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. And we try to get to all the messages. We at least read all of the messages. Even if we don't get a chance to read them over the air, we at least read them, and it helps shape our thoughts and what we end up talking about on the show. And then just like we try to get to all the phone calls, and some days we can't get to every caller on the phone lines, but that's just kind of how it works. But we definitely read all the messages that you send our way. I've got some good ones I want to share with you here. First, though, what about these AW and Bozeman said 12,000 votes that showed up in Gallatin County last night. Yeah, Gallatin County was a mess on election night. It's cold, it's snowy, it's getting icy. And then, you know, it looked like they started busing and in vans a bunch of college kids over at the last minute. And then there's people still trying to register to vote after 8 p.m. on election night, and then you got people still trying to vote after 8 p.m. on election night. The reason we were still standing there at the Armory in Bozeman at 2:30 in the morning is because there were people still standing in line in Yellowstone County. There were people still standing in line in Gallatin County. We were still waiting on Flathead County. And so, but Gallatin County was probably the worst with the last-minute rush. I had one of our listeners sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Who was it? It was a young lady, I think. Was it Brianna or Brittany? She said, yeah, it was such a mess, and I was trying to get registered to vote, and then I was trying to vote. Man, we were stuck in line for so long, and I just kind of wanted to – I mean, I'm not judging her, but I just kind of wanted to be like, well, why did you wait until election day to register to vote? But I'm just glad she got there and got her vote in and voted. But it's just like, man, see, if we did what the legislature actually voted on and what the governor actually signed into law, we would not have same-day registration. And all of these people would have realized, I should probably take advantage of 364 other days out of the year to register to vote. And then if I want to vote on election day, I won't get stuck in line for several hours waiting out there in the cold to try to vote because people would have already registered, and now I don't have to waste the precious time of election staff having them register me to vote. I can just go in and vote and then be done. But no, everybody had to sit there and wait because the left-wing Montana Supreme Court and our left-wing judiciary threw out simple, reasonable measures like, hey, maybe you should register to vote before election day. Maybe you should have an ID. All these things, right? I mean, it's just like, it's just so absurd. It's like, and then everybody else, this is why we can't have nice things. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, everybody gets stuck waiting in long lines on election day. Anyway, rant concluded. What about the 12,000 numbers? When I heard what AW said about, so basically the reason why all these late numbers came in from Gallatin County is because they were still counting all the votes because, you know, they were still voting almost 12 hours after the election deadline, right? People were still, you know, practically voting and counting, and then they started counting the votes. But I was wondering, how would that impact State House District 57? Marty Malone, the Republican, and Scott Rosenzweig, the Democrat. Marty Malone still has a solid lead here. But if you look at the Secretary of State Election Office website, 50% to 50%. But Marty Malone has 3,654 votes to the Democrats' 3,599 votes. So look at how close that one was. But Marty Malone, you know, his former Park County Commissioner, great agricultural background. So that's why he was able to win even inside the Bozeman city limits with as far left as they have gone. So despite that last influx of ballots that were counted, Marty Malone continues the lead there. So that was very interesting. But bottom line is, look, if we didn't have this same day registration mess, we likely wouldn't have the rest of the mess that came along with it. To answer that young lady in Billings who messaged me about Election Day at the Metra. Okay, I want to play at least a portion of what Stu Scheller told us, retired Lieutenant Colonel Marine Corps, he's not retired because he got screwed over after he went public. He sacrificed his entire career when he called for accountability in the entire chain of command following the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. When I chatted with him back in September, and he's going to be in Bozeman tonight and at the Marine Corps Ball in Bozeman tomorrow night, and then he'll be in Billings at the Adaptive Performance Center on Sunday. But I told him how there's been so many betrayals. In fact, one of our service members just messaged me about the stupid COVID vaccine and all these people, the shot, all these service members who got punished because they didn't want to be forced into taking that damaging COVID shot.
Because to me, this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, I feel like Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have a sense of the betrayal that our Vietnam veterans felt, because that's what I've heard from so many of our fellow Afghanistan veterans, is they just felt like it was a betrayal the way this whole withdrawal was conducted.
Absolutely. Vietnam, you wish we would have learned some of those lessons. And we just didn't. And the problem was, after Vietnam, we didn't go back and hold any general officers accountable. What we did was we went away from the draft, all volunteer force, and really made the general officers maybe more important without ever holding them accountable for a lot of their tactical and strategical failures. And we pretty much have done the same thing. And it's one of those things where when a war is two decades long, it's like, well, if none of them can be held accountable, then we're not going to try and fire the last one. But my position would be, this final chapter, at least in Afghanistan, there is no better example of just terrible decisions that were made. And if we as a nation, as a president, as a Congress, can't hold a single general officer accountable for what is obvious failures, then the system's broken. And we need to go back. We need to have a strong Secretary of Defense that can rebuild this thing, because the United States military has a lot of great resources. I mean, they have a $1 trillion budget. They have the best young talent, the best training resource facilities. But the problem is, we have leadership that is self-serving, will spin a narrative, is not honest, doesn't hold themselves accountable, and it's really degrading our ability to be effective. So I'm hoping there's some changes in the winds of the future.
All right. There's more to follow where that came from. When I was able to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, he lost his whole career, never even got got to retire and get their retirement benefits, et cetera, despite his numerous deployments because he called for accountability. I'll go back to part of that conversation with Stu Scheller here in just a second, but we got a caller on the phone lines. Right on, John and Bozeman. It was great to see you at the Rockin' R. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, you got to say thanks, Mike, for allowing you to put your show on there.
Yeah, that was great. What a great team he's got.
I had tears coming from my eyes when I heard that Donald Trump made it. And then when Nancy spoke this morning, oh, my God, I had more tears coming from my eyes. Thank you, Nancy, for all you do on this radio show. You're amazing, gal. You're amazing. I'm almost getting into tears again.
I hear you.
We have so much positive stuff that we can look forward to now.
You know, I was just saying that last night, right on, John. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I was just saying that to some friends last night. I got to meet so many great listeners from Helena and from Bozeman and from elsewhere across Montana that were at the Montana Family Foundation banquet in Bozeman yesterday with Riley Gaines. And they said, well, what do you talk about now? I mean, now it's like, wow, look at this amazing accomplishment here. We finally we finally ousted liberal Senator John Tester, which is just, he's caused so much problems in his 18 years. I mean, $30+ trillion in debt, open borders, wars, you know, your money going to all these other countries, drag queen story hours, targeting kids, you name it. What are you going to talk about now? I said, oh, man, hey, now we get to talk about the good things that we're doing, the good things that are going to get done. And, of course, there'll be other battles along the way. But yeah, remember when Trump was the president the last time? We had access to cabinet members. We had access to senior administration officials. And so that's going to be part of the fun that I'm looking forward to here in the months and years ahead. It's going to be, man, we're going to have a great time. And we can do deep dives into more issues instead of just the day-to-day campaign, horse race, you name it. It was so great. Also, Tim and Savage stopped and saw us at the Rockin' R. Tim and Savage has lost 40 pounds already in what, a month and a week or a month and a half? He's lost 40 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. And he doesn't even live in Billings. He lives out on the Mondakistan border near North Dakota. He is taking advantage of the diet coaching available remotely with our friends at Billings' Last Diet. That's the program that worked for me, that still works for me. It's the program that's working for him. I've had listeners lose 60 pounds, 80 pounds, 100 pounds plus. This program works. They've got a remote option that works for all of you across Montana. Check them out, BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
CEO of Zillow was just, I think, on CNBC and said that if illegal immigrants have to go back home, that will ease the housing shortage in the country and lower prices and make it more affordable. Americans have had it. They've had it with runaway inflation. They've had it paying $1.50 more a gallon. They have had it with the radicalism of wide open borders and decriminalization of illegals and all the benefits. They have had it with defund, dismantle, no bail laws and rising crime. They've had it. However, the American people were peddled this crap day in, day out, and they didn't care because they're voting in their own best interest, as they should.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
It's that time again where we choose who we think is the best candidate for office. It's a difficult decision that requires the evaluation of contenders. Do they have the appropriate skills and experience for this office? Are they the right type of leader? Do they have a clear vision? Selecting the right candidate is no easy feat. That's why, for your office, there's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes choosing the right candidate for any office easy because they only find and send you the most qualified people for your roles. Best of all, they do it fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, While you're thinking about that really big decision, rest assured that any other hiring decision will be much easier when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The American dream, the single-family detached home on a yard with a station wagon in the driveway. Okay, maybe not the station wagon. But we're endlessly told that this is what people want, whether they can afford it or not. And that is part of the pushback to changes in housing policy to try to increase housing density as a way of addressing affordability. Namely, it's a solution that people don't want. There's one thing missing in all this, and that is evidence. A recent study on what lower density is worth to prospective homeowners sheds new light on the question. It's possible to analyze with statistical models how individual characteristics of homes impact their value in terms of the prices they command. Those models suggest that buyers, on average, would pay an extra $9,500 for housing in an area with lots that were less dense by a half unit per acre. But within that average are a big number of those who would pay less, and a smaller tail of the distribution who would be willing to pay maybe two or three times that amount. The minority with an extreme aversion to density dominate conversations. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by
2217 Grand in Billings.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, just got an email from Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, who's going to be in Bozeman at MSU tonight, and the Marine Corps ball speaker in Bozeman Saturday night. He's doing an event at the Adaptive Performance Center in Billings on Sunday, and then he's back to Bozeman for Veterans Day. My goodness, is Veterans Day already Monday? It is. That's crazy. Veterans Day is Monday. Well, this veteran will be here working on Monday, and it'll be an honor to do so. We've got, I think, Governor Greg Gianforte is going to drop in with a really cool announcement that he's going to be taking part in. We're going to announce our winner of the Yellowstone Family Dental, opportunity for a veteran to get some dental implants. That's going to be incredible. And don't worry, we'll have a lot ready to roll for you coming up for Monday's show. I can't believe it's already, man. It's like, we've been so focused on this election coverage and everything. But yeah, Stu Scheller, here's more of my conversation with him from back in September. But isn't it interesting to hear what he has to say about what we need to do to clean up the Pentagon, to clean up the military bureaucracy, especially now that President Donald J. Trump is coming back?
I interviewed a guy who spoke at the, I think it was like a de Tocqueville conference in France once, and he said the big takeaway, what everybody, left, right, et cetera, we're talking about, is we have the accountable class and we have the unaccountable class. And this is across the board. It's not just at the Pentagon. It's in corporate America. It's in our political leadership. There is the accountable class and the unaccountable class.
Absolutely. I mean, Hillary Clinton's emails, if there was a young Lance Corporal that had a private server with a bunch of classified information that could be broken into, they would go to jail. I think that's a perfect example of how some people at the top seem to be unaccountable for whatever reasons, money, power. But it really strikes to the soul of the values of our American system where, at least under the law, all people should be treated equal. And we're just starting to see, I think, more and more of cracks in that system. And that's really, it's a foundational problem that, to your point, all levels of government have that problem. But I think even more so than just unaccountable, right now we have people in government that it's not performance-based. So in the military, every person, every officer in all four branches, they get evaluated based on a subjective evaluation. So if I'm a mid-level infantry commander, my five subordinates, I rank them 1 through 5 based on my opinion. And so what people figure out is they don't have to necessarily be the best at their job. They just have to have their boss like them and rank them number one. And those are two very different things. And over 40 years, those four-star generals, because that's how long it takes to make them, they've gotten their bosses to like them the best, and it's not necessarily the best performer. And so I think that's also a fundamental flaw of a lot of our government institutions. And that's why you have these people without any moral courage at the top, because they've been conditioned for an entire career to just give their bosses what they want.
All right. Yeah, that's part of our conversation with Stu Scheller. If you want to go back and listen to that full conversation, you can find it on the Montana Talks podcast through the Montana Talks app or even on Spotify. I think you can go back to that conversation going back towards the end of September of this year. Hey, if you want a free copy of our U.S. Constitution, if you want a free copy of the Montana Constitution, listen up. A firm understanding of our Montana Constitution is a foundation that each and every Montanan should be equipped with. This Freedom Friday, you can get a free copy of the Montana Constitution today from the 1776 Foundation. Simply go to 1776foundation.us to request your free copy. The 1776 Foundation has proudly delivered over 50,000 free copies of the Montana Constitution to parents, teachers, and interested citizens across the state. Get your free copy of the Montana Constitution at 1776foundation.us. In fact, we had, I told you Lily Meskers was at the event last night. So was Lily Serber. Lily Serber heads up the Turning Point USA chapter at the University of Montana. And she told me, yeah, the 1776 Foundation, man, those guys are great. They sent us a whole bunch of copies of the Constitution to hand out on campus. Pretty cool.